What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit for your free audiobook download. Hi, everyone. It is Stephen from Majorspoilers.com. Thank you so much for downloading and listening and sharing this podcast with a friend. You know, when we sat down to record this Fate arc for Critical Hit, I had no idea that it was going to be so much fun for us, and I didn't expect so much positive feedback from all of you. I'm really glad that you're enjoying what we're doing, and we are really happy and excited to be producing it for you. Now, Modern City is only going to be a short run for right now. Maybe in the future it could be a little bit longer. Members.MajorSpoilers.com? If you like the superhero genre, I've got a suggestion to you. Head over to audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit and get your free audiobook download. Check this out. They have hundreds of thousands of audiobooks available for you to listen at any time that you want. Put them on your MP3 player, your iPod, whatever that you want to do. And you can listen to them when you like, where you like. And they have a big selection of superhero books. I'm looking at some of them right now. Here is The Law of Superheroes from James Daly and Ryan Davidson. This looks at the law behind superheroes. Then there's a book that I remember listening to on audiobook form a long time ago called Soon I Will Be Invincible, a novel by Austin Grossman. Really fascinating. It flip-flops back and forth between the hero and the supervillain. It's really good. Then you have books like The Science of Superheroes that looks at what makes a superhero work or not work in the real world. There's so much to be found over at audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit. Look, maybe you don't like superheroes. That's okay. That's totally okay. There's lots of D&D books that are available as well. And if you don't like that, maybe you like art or history or biography or science fiction or fiction or real fiction. Is it called real fiction? I don't know why it's called real fiction. Maybe because it's based on real facts, but it's still fictionalized. I don't know. Go check out those books over at audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit today. Sign up, get your free audiobook, and thank you so much for your support.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Modern City, gleaming metropolis and crown jewel of the Gulf Coast. Completed in 1953, this fully planned city was built using revolutionary swamp-draining technologies. No city is more modern than Modern City. And no city is safer. Look, kids, up in the sky. It's our very own superhero, the Modern Man. Shining defender of the American way. So take a trip down. We guarantee you'll want to stay. Modern City. What could possibly go wrong?
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. Oh, we hope you enjoyed your visit to Modern City last week and the creation and the build-up and the history of this setting for our Fate game that Brian is running for us. But now, we need something to do, Brian.
All right.
It's time to tell some origin stories.
Yes, it is. It's time to come up with some heroes. The very first step in this is you need to come up with two aspects. Aspects are short descriptive phrases that convey some element of your character. The first one you want to come up with is the high concept. That's just basically the general premise of your character, the overall concept of that character.
So would that be like, our character name?
Not the name
no,
necessarily,
it's like a
but
concept. Well, I'm thinking like if you were doing a Superman type character, it'd be Superman, the Man of Steel.
Yes,
would be your high aspect.
The Man of Steel.
The Man of Steel. Man of Steel
would be your high aspect.
Yep, that's right. Yes. Your high concept.
The Man of Bronze for your. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And then the other aspect is what?
The other aspect will be trouble. It'll be like it can be a weakness. It can be just something that you regularly face that provides your character adversity.
So could that be like a recurring villain?
It could be. If you have a recurring villain that is constantly causing you troubles.
Yeah, an arch nemesis would definitely make a good trouble aspect.
For Spider-Man, it's, you know, his social life always coming. Okay. Yeah. You know.
But I'm looking here on our fate
Batman's
sheet.
Would be the Joker.
And I see multiple aspects.
Yes.
Can you have multiple aspects?
Yes. Going to. You'll have five.
Oh, okay. So we all need to come up with our high concept first?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we talk this out, or what? How does this work?
We can.
Yes. How does this?
It's a good idea to talk about it so we don't have too much crossover.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So yeah, you definitely will want to decide like what kind of roles if you're going for a particular kind of hero.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make sure that not everyone is playing a super strong guy with flight and invulnerability.
Not everybody's playing Batman.
Yes. Nope.
My aspect is high concept. Batman.
Well, I mean, it could be something pretty close to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to play Batman?
I don't want to play Batman.
Oh, okay.
World's greatest detective and crepe crusader.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want to play
World's greatest crepe crusader?
Crepe crusader.
The crepe crusader.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, God. Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense if it's in Louisiana.
The Cajun crepe. Yeah.
I want pancakes. Oh.
The Cajun crusader. Ooh, there you go. So what do we do? I mean, master.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Give me. So I know.
How about, can we go around the table and do everybody else first? So I have a chance to see how this is done.
I was going to say Matthew sounded like he already had a real strong idea of what he was wanting to do.
Yes.
So I say, lay it on us, Matthew. What are you thinking? You want your character to be?
You want my high concept?
Yes, give me, if you have a high concept ready, throw it at me.
The nomadic ghost of the highways.
Nomadic ghost of highways, that is awesome. So, he's probably not so much a hometown hero, he just kind of found his way here, you think?
Just passing through.
But is that, that's your through. Character name?
No, that's his high concept.
That's my high concept. Okay.
Do you know what
my
the... Yeah, do you know what the name of your character would be?
I do.
And what would that be?
Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. My character's name is Jetstar because he drives a 1965 Oldsmobile Jetstar convertible, candy apple red. This vehicle is legendary. People see it before trouble, wherever trouble starts. And somehow, wherever there's trouble, you'll find Jetstar.
Nice.
In his Jetstar.
It's not actually clear whether he is Jetstar, whether the car is Jetstar. He doesn't really have a whole lot of explanations. Mm-hmm. But Jetstar kind of shows up and bad things have happened. Or maybe bad things happen. It's hard to say.
That is definitely interesting. Would your trouble be something along those lines? Always finds trouble, or trouble follows him, or he follows...
Trouble definitely follows him.
Trouble definitely follows him.
Yes.
Trouble
follows Jetstar, which is one of the reasons why he's always on the go.
Fair enough. That's definitely interesting. Anyone else have any ideas what they want to do with their characters?
I have a high concept idea.
Okay.
Former supervillain.
Former supervillain. Oh. Nice. Yep. So so I definitely
is
think
that also your trouble.
I think former supervillain or, you know, an infamous character would definitely be something along the lines of the trouble.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I think his trouble might be old acquaintances.
Yes, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
And that and that goes both ways, like former supervillain partners and heroes he's fought who don't have any love for him. Does that make sense?
Yes, that definitely makes sense.
Now, if I can spell acquaintances, I'll be set.
And you put that in your high concept area?
Yeah, so my high concept is former supervillain, and my trouble concept is old acquaintances.
Okay. So what manner of supervillain were you? Were you a mastermind?
Let's see. I think he started out as a... Basically, he started out as a just kind of thug-type supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, he kind of got elevated to like a headliner that would fight against Spider-Man kind of thing. It's like, we're giving this guy a push.
I see.
And then eventually... the people got behind him. They were buying the comics that he was on. So eventually they're like, well, let's just make him a hero.
Question. Do our heroes have their own comic books?
They could.
In this, I mean, you said.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was approaching it.
From a meta level.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you mean in the universe?
In the universe.
Oh, no. My character wouldn't have a comic book
in
the
universe.
No, but I'm
saying, you know, like Matthew's character.
Your character could,
okay,
if that's what you want.
No, I'm just
definitely
curious.
You know, like, for example, the modern man could be the sort of hero
that would have
his own comic book.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. That's what I'm asking.
Or a modern man comic came out after his disappearance.
Sure, sure.
There you go. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm just curious, because you threw that out there, and I didn't know if that was... tied back into our world building that you said can happen when our characters are being
built. I wouldn't say that we all have
no things. But I'm saying,
I'd say if you want to think about it from a meta that's the sort of thing that could help you with things,
right.
Like, especially as we move in later, because
yes,
there's, you know, literal crossovers.
There are, yes.
Yeah,
so you got an idea, Rob?
Yeah, I've got an idea. I'm not sure where my high concept is. So we're setting this in 2015, basically, right?
Yep. Modern day.
Yep. Okay. Because...
8 minutes into the future.
Yes. Because my general concept is I want to be the star running back of the Cutlasses.
Okay.
and then a vigilante at night, basically.
You'll save every one of us. Okay.
Yeah.
Vigilante by night.
I think vigilante by night is your...
High concept.
And your trouble might be running back for the Cutlasses.
Yeah.
Because they probably have a schedule, and you have to travel.
Yes, and you have to travel.
Those fees are steep, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, vigilante by night. The reason I was asking about the date was because I also want to be either the son or grandson of Phil.
Phil Hassenpfeffer?
Yeah.
Phil Hassenpfeffer.
Oh, man.
Ooh, yeah.
He must hate you then.
That's why I went with the running back.
That's an aspect for later,
maybe,
I think.
Yeah, your aspect is definitely black sheep of the family.
So you would be grandson, probably. Well, yeah. Well.
You wouldn't be the
son. You'd have to be, gosh.
Well, I could be his son. The thing is, they're drafting kids into the NFL at like 18,
so
he could be pretty young.
Yeah, he could be.
Yeah.
He could be a young son. I mean, who's to say Phil doesn't have 8 ex-wives?
Yeah, it could be a young son.
Well, because we don't know when Phil was playing in his prime. Let's say Phil played in his 30s and 40s, because wasn't Babe Ruth old when he played?
Young baseball players have a hell of a lot longer lifetime
on
the game than
he could have been
any other sport.
So I would say if you want to be his grandson, like, go for it. If you wanted to be his son, go for it. Like, I think they're both
possible.
I think
I'm going to go with grandson.
Yeah.
Mm.
The star, so Trouble is star running back of the Cutlasses.
And that's good, because that, like Brian was saying, that builds that kind of Spider-Man dynamic. Mm-hmm. What gets in your way is your real life stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not a problem for Superman, for example, who could just, like, change really quickly.
Yeah.
And that can very easily tie into being the grandson of, Phil. So.
All right. So, I don't know how this goes down, but state insect of Louisiana, the honeybee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My guy is a kind of like a tech scientist who... wants to be a hero. So his gimmick is technology helps him to do it, but he has no superpowers. He's just an average guy. He's somewhat out of shape.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking of the name Yellow Jack Tech.
It's Yellow Jack.
Instead of Yellow Jacket, Yellow Jack Tech.
Ooh, it's a pun.
I could work.
You don't like that?
I don't know. I think we can do better.
A bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But it's not a bad place to start.
So what's his high concept, though? I mean, is it high-tech meets superhero, or
High-tech bug.
High-tech bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
High-tech bumblebee?
The high-tech bumblebee?
The bionic bee?
The bionic bee.
I actually like the bionic bee for the hero name.
But he's not bionic, though. That'd be the only problem.
What is that? What is his primary technological?
Is he kind of a power suit kind of guy?
No, he doesn't. No? He doesn't have a power suit.
Is he like a gadget guy?
He's like a gadget guy. Like he's got a stun gun that he'd call the Stinger, mm-hmm. right? And he has some kind of little jetpack that lets him fly around mm-hmm. when he needs to. You know, just this little compact thing that he's right. built.
What about something like, something like Rocket Bumble or something.
Rocket Bumble?
I don't know. Just throwing stuff out.
Well,
I know. The Rumblebee.
The Rumblebee.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's good.
So where does that go? Where do you put your name at?
The thing that says name.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking.
ID.
So we're doing, as again mentioning, we're playing Roll20. So we all have online character sheets. And so what's happening is these ghosted out things
I would
are
say
not
showing
in there.
Up in the ID at the top.
So Rumblebee. Yeah. Okay. High-tech Bumblebee. So the trouble aspect is he's an ordinary guy that's just...
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Because he's not bulletproof. He's not any of these
things.
Yeah,
I mean, you could say like no superpowers.
Yeah, no superpowers.
Right. Yes.
No superpowers. Somewhat out of shape.
Power slow.
That was going to be another question. What is our... level of superpowers, like, or not even just level, but power origins, power types. Like, are we going to have just tech and vigilantes, or are we going
I'd say again, I think we want to do like a broad kind of DC universe, Marvel
yes.
universe, okay. as far as types, right?
There's just anything. So, he could have been bitten by a radioactive bee.
Right, sure. Or been given magical bee powers by a bee god, you
yes.
know, like that. That sort of thing. Like, that would be fine.
And in order to transform into Rumblebee, he must shout the magic name that stands for the seven bumble gods.
Yeah.
Dopey, Sleepy, Doc, and Honey. Whatever. No, my guy is not that.
Yeah.
He's just
right.
the high-tech
so that,
Bumblebee.
As far as power level, I would say, like Marvel Comics protagonist level.
Yeah, yeah.
If that gives you a power
yeah.
level there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spider-Man, yes. Sentry, no.
Hulk, no.
Hulk, like...
Borderline.
Well, it depends which Hulk, right?
Yes,
yeah, Hulk is definitely the borderline.
But I think we've already done all of our characters, though, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about someone creating
well,
Superman.
Well, but yeah. for example, like Matthew's character is like a time-displaced ghost type thing. So
right,
it's like... You know, we do have to like decide, and like my character literally has no. I haven't come up with any powers for
oh,
him
okay.
yet. So
yes.
yeah.
Same here. Like I was thinking, I was actually thinking somewhere along the lines of being invulnerable,
mm-hmm.
With no other superpowers, and having it possibly be a genetic trait, where mm-hmm. Phil might have actually been a metahuman.
And that's why he was such a good pitcher.
But there wasn't any way to detect it. It's not. It wasn't anything significantly enough outside the human norms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that sounds good. You can. The other thing that we'll basically there's three things we're going to define or potentially define during character creation.
Okay.
One of them are these aspects, which we're doing now. The other one is the stat array. That'd be the careful, clever, flashy, forceful, quick, and sneaky.
Oh, okay.
Basically, you have a 3, 2 twos, 2 ones, and a 0 to put in whichever one of those you want.
Yeah.
The last thing is called stunts. You can have between like 3 to 5 of them total.
Those are your powers? Would that be our powers in this case?
Yeah. For the most part, they will represent your powers within this game.
Okay.
They... are kind of like feats in a 4th edition equivalency. So basically, what you can do is you can... there's two ways you can define feats. You can have them give you a consistent +2 bonus when using one of those approaches in a particular manner.
Okay. So I'm confused, so we'll just go through this.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay, so should we do skills first then, or should we add other aspects, or what happens here?
I think we will continue to define aspects.
Okay.
But the reason I was bringing up stunts is because Rob, since he's thinking about being invulnerable, he could easily have choose to have one of his stunts be to ignore a hit once per game session. That'd be just like a little mechanical bonus that you can activate and have it fire off. And
so, so I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. So if Rumblebee uses his stinger, which is this like stun gun kind of thing, would that be a stunt that gives me a bonus or not?
It definitely could be.
It could be, but
it's something you can only use once.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't want your primary mode of attack to be a stunt.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, so like you're a stunt, like whenever you're zapping stuff, that can be your stinger, but your stunt could be like overcharge, where you like tweak like anything technological to make it do more damage or have a higher attack. Yes. I don't remember exactly how combat works.
Yeah, basically, your attack roll will be the damage depending on what they roll for defense.
Right. So you could be like, it would be more something you would do in a pinch, or something that you something that temporarily affects you. So
let me ask you this: so, Rumblebee,
yes,
will reveal his secret identity soon, but he's developed this little device that he can call a swarm in of bees to act as cover should he be like really losing in a fight and I need to get out of here, pushes his little swarm button.
Yeah.
Bees come and start attacking in this area.
Right.
That would be a stunt.
That would be a stunt.
That would definitely be a stunt. You can definitely say, once per turn, use the hypersonic bee summoner to...
Once per turn or once per session?
Or once per session, sorry. Yeah. To escape a scene.
Yeah, and it's definitely used for escape.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Was that?
Oh, the character sheet, there's no way to slide the window.
Yeah. Like, over.
Over?
Oh, to see the... What? Over or where exactly?
There's no scroll bar at the bottom.
Oh.
There's only a scroll bar on the side.
So you have to open up your window a little bit bigger.
So you have to...
But you said they are working on... Yeah. Making your character sheet open up in a pop-up window or something.
Yes,
that you can move outside the browser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I understand stunts then.
Yeah.
Basically one-time gimmicky bits.
Or they can be a +2 constant bonus to a narrow focus of one of your approaches.
Okay.
Right. So for example, Tech Genius could be a stunt.
Yes.
But that wouldn't be a skill?
No. Whenever you are... cleverly doing something with technology, you would get that persistent bonus.
So essentially it would be like making a new weapon or something out of existing technology.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would be
you'd apply it there. Yeah.
Tech genius.
Right, right. But like even if you're doing something like if you're cleverly talking your way past guards, you can't you can't use you cannot use tech genius.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that's what he means is like it applies consistently to a skill, but the focus is narrow.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely a good thing. So just keep those in mind because you can add those as you think of them to add to your character, and we can talk out how to exactly define those as we go.
Okay.
So, yeah, so everyone's got a pretty good idea of their high concept and their trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And these can be fine-tuned as we go.
Sure.
Now, basically, we're going to more or less have everyone go through kind of a debut issue or an early adventure, or it can even be your origin story. Basically, just think of an early adventure, describe it, and figure out some other aspect of your character to define here. In game, aspects will have basically two uses. Help you get fate points... so that you can spend them for bonuses later, or let you spend those bonuses for fate points that are tied to those aspects. So, like, for example, anytime you think that being a high-tech Bumblebee superhero will help you out in a situation, like, because I got this super awesome backpack or jetpack, I can fly around, I'm going to spend my high-tech Bumblebee I'm going to activate. Spend a fate. Yeah. I'm going to compel.
It's tag.
It's tag. Yeah, I'm going to tag this aspect. Give me a +2 bonus to this roll as I use that to try to catch that guy.
Okay. We'll get to these. These are pretty broad. You'll be able to figure out how to work them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or basically when being out of shape would actually be a hindrance to you or not having superpowers.
Right. Well, that's what I was looking at skills. And that's what I was thinking. Skills were like, you know, I have a -1 to running far long distances, you know, like something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that out of shape would be a thing, which is why I think you should take out of shape out of your trouble.
Okay.
Like,
and just leave it as
like
no superpowers.
And then you can use out of shape as an aspect.
Okay. Yes.
Where are you guys writing down your aspects, by the way? I just have stunts and extras here on this sheet.
Yeah.
Add.
Oh, cool.
Where?
You see, are you in Roll 20 right now, Matthew? Looking at your character sheet in Roll 20, I guess?
Yep.
Do you see the bar that says aspects?
Nope.
I see
bio and info, character sheet, attributes, and abilities.
All right, click on character sheet.
Okay.
Should pull up the full character sheet, right?
I think.
It says fate aspects. Yep. Yeah, aspects. You write the first one is your high concept. The second one is your trouble, and then under that you have a button that says add. We'll need to add three more.
Yeah, three more.
Three more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And those will be whatever the other aspects we create are.
Yes.
Okay.
So do I need to maybe I'm jumping ahead. Do I need to put some minus or something for the somewhat out of shape under my aspects or something or not?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So yeah, we got those. We got our high concepts and troubles pretty much planned out.
I think so.
Yes.
So now we're going to basically explore your characters a bit more. Asking you to basically come up with an early case or adventure that your character has been on, and basically just tell a brief situation of what your character did, or basically his experiences there. And we're going to try to pull another aspect from that to further define your character. So, like Rodrigo, we'll go with you now. So your character, let me just pull you up here. So you being a former supervillain,
right?
I think it'd be natural to basically explore your villainous past,
right?
And kind of define that a bit more.
Sure.
So yeah,
I think he started out in a supervillain group that like came together specifically to take down a superhero.
All right.
And he started out as Disaster Boy and just had like kind of like I think there was like a central guy, like a central bad guy that just gave a bunch of random people powers and said, go fight this guy. And like my character was like probably like 16 at the time. He's like, okay, here's your powers. You get like, I don't know, a little bit of invulnerability and a little bit of super strength. So, whatever, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to call myself Disaster Boy.
I see.
And got his butt handed to him, basically.
Nice. So, what was the nature of this hero that you had been? Did you actually fight him, or did you just run off on your own, causing disaster from there, not really keeping your eyes?
Yeah, I think... I think maybe that was what ended up happening. Like, it was probably some kind of also fairly young hero. And basically, he went in, like, this group, like, goes in and fights him. And, like, my character didn't wear a mask or anything. Like, it was just very clear that I was, like, a 16-year-old boy just kind of, like, windmilling my arms around, like, kicking cars at him and stuff.
Yes.
He was probably like, why are you even doing this? Like, oh, well, I got these superpowers and now I'm supposed to fight you. And he's like, Well, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to do what people say. And it's like, I don't have to do what people say. And then, like, went off and, like, kind of became a crappy supervillain on his own. Not really synthesizing the lesson at the time. That he didn't have to be a villain.
Mm-hmm.
But that, yeah, he didn't have to follow this, like, mastermind villain either.
I see. So, so what do you think would be a good aspect to pull from that? Would it be perhaps a weird independent streak or not? Or
Yeah, actually, or something like that.
The super villain that gave you your powers, or that hero who had started to point you on the proper path?
Yeah, maybe all of those could work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah, like maybe like that was the thing. Is like the hero is like, yeah, you should do your own thing. You don't have to follow other people. Like, yeah, I'm gonna make a name for myself, and that's basically it. I'm gonna make a name for myself.
Okay, yeah, that's good, because that I can see you compelling that when you're wanting to do something, or having that compelled against you.
Yep.
When you're basically doing the wrong thing or jumping into the spotlight where it's not the appropriate situation and causing a mess of things.
Yep.
Yes. I think that's good. All right.
So what other aspects then did you add? Did you add other aspects into your sheet then based on that conversation?
The only one I've added is Disaster Boy, : I'm going to make a name for myself.
Okay.
Sounds awesome. All right. So I think Rodrigo's got a good start there. Rob, you want to go or?
I'm not quite sure just yet. All right. You got something, Matthew?
I think so.
Okay.
We're looking for an early adventure, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And it's roughly the modern age, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so the earliest recorded appearance of Jetstar was in the fall of 1965. He was a young 18-year-old kid in a brand new car who put on a mask and tried to join up with the prime super team of Texas. they're called the Titanic Three.
All right.
And eventually it went bad because, well, nobody wanted to be part of the Titanic Four. But at that point in time, Jetstar was just a clean-cut young lad who seemed to be doing something with a thing and maybe having a power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was 50 years ago, and 50 years later, he doesn't look all that much older. He looks a lot different, but he doesn't look a whole lot older. So I'm wondering, you know, that adventure, did something happen during that adventure? Something caused him to veer off the straight and narrow, the shiny young lad in the shiny new car who had an idea to fight crime.
I see.
Something went wrong, and that's where the trouble found him.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall of 1965.
I see. So
something bad happened.
You basically tried to get into superheroics before you started running afoul of terrible luck, correct?
Yes. Yes. Tried to be a traditional shiny 60s superhero, using his telekinetic powers to essentially make him and his car invulnerable to damage.
Hmm.
And that didn't work out so well for him.
I see. Interesting. So, I was trying to think, what can we... So would basically being like a man out of time, you feel, be a good aspect there?
Yeah. I don't know about time.
No. What about what if this was a curse?
Mm-hmm.
Like something like he did mostly the right thing, but in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And as whoever he defeated or helped or whatever, faded off into the distance. He's like, may trouble ever find you.
How did you get... do you have powers? Matthew, does your character have powers?
Yes.
Did he make a deal with some supernatural thing that turned around and bit him on the butt? It's one of those careful what you wish for kind of things.
Hmm. Ooh, that's interesting.
I can see that. Yeah.
That's got a ring to it. Trying to do the right thing the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main thing that's important is that ever since the fall of 1965, there have been whispers and rumors and recurrences and people talking about the man in the red Jet Star. And that's how he's gotten his name. Just that wandering guy who shows up and bad things happen and he tries to do something about it and then he's gone with the wind.
Okay, just let me throw this out there. What if he's a ghost?
Yeah. Ooh. That's what I was thinking.
Like he's
too.
A ghost that's tied to the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A literal ghost.
Yeah. Yes.
It's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
Haunted Jet Star? First thing, the bad thing that happened his death.
Yes. And then the aspect could be haunted Jet Star.
Mm-hmm.
Like the car itself is haunted by your character.
By the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Is he limited into his range of the car?
Probably not too much.
Yeah. I think basically he's tied to the car. So the well-being of the car isn't necessary for his well-being.
Right.
But, being now a spiritual object, so to speak, it's...
A totem.
Yeah, it's a totem.
Right. And the car probably also has ghostly abilities by virtue of...
Driving through a wall.
Suddenly appearing when there's trouble kind of stuff.
I like that. So, in that first adventure, he died!
Yes. Which that would make sense, right?
Teenage boy.
I mean, he made a deal with somebody.
Issue number one, the death of Jetstar.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I'm putting that on issue my character sheet. Issue number one, the death of Jetstar.
It's like the top says Jetstar, and then issue number one, the bottom, death of Jetstar.
Yes.
Saving the character sheet with issue number one, the death of Jetstar. I like that. That's cool.
And so, yes. So basically, you would consider that this particular aspect, when we're making these, we do need to consider how these will actually be used in-game. So you're largely considering this just to be the more or less the aspect that you use to tie into your ghostly abilities?
I would say yes. I mean, it's... See, and this is the problem. I'm trying to wrap my brain around the whole aspect thing and how an aspect.
Right. So, if I may,
yes.
Mostly the way aspects will work is either you or Brian will say, for example, for me, I'm gonna make a name for myself. So if I am jumping into the fray in front of everybody else and kicking somebody in the face, and I can be like, okay, I do that, and I'm going to make a name for myself, which means my aspect probably helps.
So you can be like, okay, I'm going to spend a fate point to get +2 to kicking that guy in the face.
Right. So on the other hand, when we are trying to sneak into a facility, and we see over there's the bad guy all alone by himself, and we should sneak past him, Brian can turn to me and say,
this would be a good time to make a name for yourself.
Exactly. So then I have to either resist it or spending my fate points or just go do it.
And he would gain a fate point.
Right.
Which he can then spend later for more bonuses.
Yep.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically the issue would come down with, with the death of the death of Jetstar, how would you have that compelled to your character to act in ways that would not be beneficial to him, or how would that be beneficial to you to use that? So,
brain cramping.
Yeah, I mean, I think it maybe has to be a little bit more specific than that.
And I'd say that the your central aspect of the nomadic ghost of the highway pretty much mm-hmm. would be enough for the ghost type
situations. So, I think it would have to be some sort of like ghostly compulsion. Like you, maybe you have to figure out what it was that he did. Mm-hmm. And then it's something that, like, as a spirit that remains in the world because of that situation, he is compelled to help the innocent or punish the guilty or punish the innocent and help the guilty. Maybe not.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah. So, help like, if basically you got your superpowers to join the Titanic 3, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that was part of a bargain... Mm-hmm. Possibly, you know, at the crossroads of a highway that you made. So if there's a dark bargain there, I think that could be a suitable aspect to put there.
Deal with a crossroads demon?
Dark bargain.
Yeah. Dark bargain.
Dark bargain at the crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Dark bargain. Not to be confused with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I'd put at the crossroads because that's such a cool thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what initially he thought was going to give him superpowers, but it ended up he was dead all along.
Or he didn't quite yet have superpowers until he died and came back as a ghost.
Yeah, that's maybe. His
powers weren't what they thought he were, or what he thought they were.
Yeah, it's like, well, wanted powers. Well, I didn't want to die. Well, you got powers now.
Yep.
Now
you're done. That'll teach you to make a deal with the devil.
Now,
okay, no, I'm sorry.
Looking at these aspects, would a good aspect to take be he was dead all along? Because clearly this is not something that he's going to announce to people. He's just kind of going to blow into town.
I thought a good aspect would be actually a ghost. But that's kind of covered by your high concept, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
It is a good concept that you've already hit upon.
Yeah.
Just like immediately.
So, whatever happens at the end so far hasn't gone well. So he always immediately takes to the road at the end. Is that still part of that same thing? The nomadic ghost part. Yeah.
Yeah. The nomadic plus your trouble aspect is also
right.
Yeah.
So the dark bargain is an aspect.
Yes.
And is this something where five aspects are what you need, or does it benefit us to have more?
It really is. I mean, it's the fate point economy is really the mechanic that drives the fate system. So you need to have aspects in order to use those and gain those both. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have those fleshed out. Plus, they just provide depth for your character. It's always good to have them. I think, you know, just having something tying to the dark bargain, like trying to work off trying to make the best of the, just by being a...
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's lots of ways to play it, right? Mm-hmm. There is that kind of like, maybe the part of the bargain was... This is going to happen until you manage to do this, right? At which point your soul will be set free, or you'll come back to life, or something. That's one way of playing it. The other one can be like, this is forever. Like, because I made this bargain, I am tied to do this.
Or pact bound to your car. It could be that. So.
I like the concept of forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless there's an out, and that's why you're always searching and roaming around trying to find that out to get out of your bargain.
Right. But if he assumes that it is forever and it's been played as forever, maybe there's no real expectation or hint that there's an out. He's doing good in the hopes that there might be an out.
Mm. Sure.
Always looking for that off ramp.
Right.
Nice.
Oh, I'm right. Is that an aspect?
So that he can get on the highway to heaven.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can see how that could be compelled against you when there's...
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, would be like his origin aspect, right? Or do we want to do another one?
I think that would work.
I think, would the dark bargain be his origin aspect?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that would work too, the dark bargain.
And now he's searching for a way to get out of the bargain that he got. He got what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that you have to be careful what you wish for.
Yes. But yeah, I can see that. I mean, like gives you reason to, you know, like go looking for various, you know, things that you probably shouldn't be poking your nose into. And
I would say, I think always looking for that off ramp can encapsulate the dark bargain aspect as well. Like all of that can be in that one thing.
I don't want to do that, then I don't have two aspects anymore.
We're going to be making more aspects when we do the crossovers.
Yes.
I don't want more aspects. I right now I have them as separate aspects.
Okay.
And I'm kind of okay with that because they are linked, but not inextricably, because that dark bargain put him here. He doesn't necessarily have any reason to believe that there is an out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of that little spark of something.
That spark of hope that keeps him as a hero.
Right.
Yes.
And that's the part where he's constantly looking for the off-ramps. He's mm-hmm. always searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't know what.
Yeah. Could be thinking that perhaps there's some sort of redemption if you do enough good or...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's good. Searching and thinging.
Yes. All right. So, Steven, you...
Meet Don Freeman.
Don Freeman.
Born and raised in Modern City. As a young lad, totally idolized Modern Man. Mm-hmm. Was so just posters, toys, the comic books, the TV show. Everything was Modern Man, Modern Man, Modern Man. His parents got tickets to go see the World Series where Modern Man was supposed to throw out the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Man never showed up. Boy was crushed. More crushed because Modern Man didn't show up, but also mm-hmm. because no one knew what happened to Modern Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he vowed as a young child that he would solve the mystery of what happened to Modern Man someday.
All right.
But as is often the case, he discovered he also had an aptitude for science and technology. And then so as he grew older... He didn't go to Modern City Tech.
No.
He went to the university and worked there and studied there. Got his master's degree. Got his doctorate in sonic technologies. He has this ability to really just kind of see how technology works and puts together and how taking little parts from other pieces can create something new and different. Mm-hmm. That can be useful. So he's got a couple of patents, made some money off the patents.
I see.
16 years ago, though, he discovered that he had this technology, it was subsonic, that essentially allowed him to communicate with the insect world. And he thought, wow, this kind of triggered this idea that I could start now really truly investigating what happened to Modern Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, taking cues from the Kansas City Rattlesnake and the Chicago Cowpuncher, he decided that he would take an animal aspect as his, or an insect aspect as his superhero and became Rumblebee. So he developed this thing, the Stinger, a little jetpack so he could fly around. Let's face it, this guy was 33 years old at the time he decided to become a superhero. He's been in the lab most of his life, not in the best of shape.
I see.
So the first time he shows up in spandex to fight some low-level thugs, he kind of got his butt kicked.
I see.
Over the last 16 years, he's learned some basic fighting skills. So he can fight. He can get fisticuffs. But really, he relies on his stinger and, in a pinch, his swarm, which allows him to call in the bees and bring them out to help him get away. But he's pushing 50.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not in good shape. He's old, but he has this desire to be this superhero in the vein of the Modern Man and find out what happened to him. And that's what drives him. Where were you laughing about?
Oh, it's because you said the rattlesnake and the cowpuncher.
Yeah.
And then you said, like, take on an animal aspect.
It's so like, it's
the Chicago cowpuncher is a guy who dresses like a cow and punches people.
It is.
That's what I laughed at.
That's literally what it is. He's a cowpuncher. Not a cowboy. He's literally a guy that dresses up as a cow. So I don't... That's kind of his... believe me, that guy, the cowpuncher, is
a legend. Yeah.
He is a legend because he was
steel. That guy.
He was slaughtered in 1985.
Oh.
by the mob, brutally slaughtered. So that's why people remember his name. Don't become like the cowpuncher.
It was the 80s. That happened to a lot of superheroes in the 80s.
It did. So I don't know what does slaughtered. That does that I do think what you're supposed to do. In
I think
this?
I think what happened to
what happened to modern man?
The modern man mystery.
Yeah,
mystery of the modern man.
Yes.
What? Oh, whatever happened to the man of today?
There you go.
Oh,
that's perfect.
See, I told you comic books are like superheroes was the way to go.
So I've got someone going to be referencing whatever happened to the man of today as aspects.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good aspect.
Do I need to also put old?
We're not going
to
get in trouble for all our stupid references. Mm. We're still going to get in trouble.
No. He's do one aspect.
Okay.
Yes. I think if you're going to do old, just append that to your trouble.
Okay. Where is there some place where you put trouble?
It's the second.
It's the second one.
No, superpowers and old and older.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's my aspects. High concept, high-tech Bumblebee. Trouble, no superpowers, and he's older. The other aspect, somewhat out of shape, and whatever happened to the man of today.
So, your trouble,
Your trouble can probably is in your trouble that. As well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be. Okay. And I said that before, because I didn't remember that, aspects have to be a little bit more tightly controlled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatever happened to the man of today?
Nice.
But he's a scientist. And he's made some money, so he can afford to build this tech himself.
Your trouble could trying to figure out a trouble that's not to. just the actual description. I'm trying to find normal man that's been at this for ages.
Okay.
Or something.
He's only been at it for 16 years, for ages, I guess.
His trouble is your dad.
All right. So
that's a Rumblebee?
That is the Rumblebee's
looks like
origin
my dad.
Story.
Yeah.
Hey, old man.
Yeah.
That's what he gets at a lot whenever he shows up. Hey, old man, you ready for a fight? And then he pulls out the stinger and takes him down. And then he stands over him and kind of mocks him like an old man would.
I still think your rocket pack should be called the Buzzer.
Okay.
Tells a lot of horrible dad jokes.
Yeah. Yay. I love terrible dad jokes.
For that matter, I kind of think that the stunt that you made probably should just rename it Bug Out.
Bug Out?
Since it's, about swarming, having your swarm give you the cover to run away.
That's good.
I'm not sure I like your jetpack name, but...
Oh.
Or something.
I think it should be the Rumbler.
Yeah.
The
Rumbler?
That was the other one I thought of.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. So the Stinger is just like this electronic stun gun.
All right.
Does that work? I mean, did I do that right? Right or wrong on this?
I think, no. Well, I mean, we'll talk about things and work them out. But yeah, that sounds good. So.
There's no right or wrong. They're just good and better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess we're on to mine, aren't we?
I'll be honest. I find this rather hard because I like to take several days or weeks to really think about something and really kind of fine tune things.
The thing is, you kind of will have the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
And Brian's not going to hold you to this much.
No. Okay.
So that's one. And two, this game is also designed to add your stats as the game starts and as you start getting a feel for your character.
Well, I'm just thinking about origin stories and names and these kinds of things. I like to noodle them around.
Definitely. But, although there is something cool about just coming up with it on the spot and to a certain degree being stuck with it.
Yeah.
Because then you can't overthink it you do.
Well, that is not necessarily
like
a bad
one
thing.
Does. Like, as one does.
Asshole.
I'm not running this.
All right. Joseph Hassenpfeffer. Hassenpfeffer, I'm going to have so many problems with that name sometimes.
Does he short his name to Joe Hoff?
They call him Joe Hoss.
Yes.
Yeah.
That should be your hero name, Hoss.
No. His hero name is going to actually be, I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be something as far removed from his own person, and sports as possible, to keep the secret identity up, because...
So wide receiver is probably not a good name.
Yeah.
Blockhead.
But he's the grandson of Philip Hassenpfeffer, you know, the star of the 75 Paperclips.
Yes.
In his youth, he was good at most sports, but always shined at baseball. Football. His older brother was following in his grandfather's footsteps until a fateful day when they found themselves in Soggy Town, and got caught between. The McClaneys and the Delacroix. He managed to save his older brother from getting killed, but not from getting paralyzed. This is what's driven him since then. So I'd say he'd be a teenager. His brother's a couple years older than him. So thinking sophomore in high school, his brother had just gotten his full ride scholarship to Olmec. For baseball.
I see. This is his older brother, you said?
Yeah, his older brother.
All right.
Had just gotten
a full ride.
Just gotten his full ride.
Okay.
They were coming home from getting there, coming home or going to school after getting that news. And they find themselves stuck between the McClaneys and the Delacroix.
Is it because they want to control him for gambling reasons?
No, just kind of a chance encounter. No ulterior motive from them other than them fighting over territory and whatnot. They just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. He dives to get his brother out of the way of a gunshot, and he manages to save his brother's life, but in the process paralyzes him, thus ending his career and disappointing the family, especially his grandfather. So since then, he's been driven by that. He made himself the best athlete he could possibly be and has made himself the best vigilante. He's decided he's going to help clean up the streets because these families have caused too many problems. So this was, as I said, sophomore, so 8 years ago. He's actually managed to at least fulfill his promise about becoming the best athlete he can possibly be by becoming the Star of the Cutlasses, and somehow managed to stay in the city, despite drafting. And I'm going to go driven to be the best, or driven by guilt to be the best.
I think just driven by guilt is a pretty good one.
Yes, that's a good one, yeah.
But so, yeah, he's taken on the heroic identity that I have not come up with yet, because some of those are hard.
What does he do?
Batman type with less tech.
Oh, here we go with Batman. Everybody wants to be Batman.
So kind of a Street Fighter type guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he have like super abilities?
Is he meta? That was my question.
Yeah, he is meta human. He is basically indestructible. He doesn't no extra strength or any other extra abilities because of this, but you know, he's never really been hurt by anything.
Yeah.
Really, really tough guy.
Yeah.
So what's are you the Avenger? what's a revenge? Because that's essentially what you're doing, right? Trying to get revenge for what happened to your brother?
Gangbuster.
Nice. That's kind of his entire backstory, isn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah, if he's driven by guilt, I mean, you could play something with that. I mean, you be the atoner or something in that. I hate that, but in that sort of realm.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something that just kind of describes what he does, if he's like, you know, a tough guy who punches things really hard. They'd go with like brass or something, you know, just descriptive of being a big, thick kind of.
I mean, there's lots of ways.
Weapons? Do you use any weapons for fighting? Do you use brass knuckles when you fight? Maybe that's where you come from, the brass or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. If he comes out at, like, if he mostly comes out at night, you know, you've got stuff like the Midnighter, which is an actual guy that already exists, but, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
The Sundowner, which is probably not good. Just Sundown, actually, is better. Sundowner sounds... That's unfortunate implications.
I was trying to think.
We'll figure it out.
But you, pick up your name? You haven't picked it.
I haven't picked out my hero name.
Okay. Okay, Rob, go full 90s. Now stay with me on this.
Well, so he would have only been a hero 8
Blood
years
Force.
Ago.
Last name, Blood Force. Your name is Death Strike Blood Force. Blood Strike Death Force.
Oh,
Strike Force Death Blood.
Blunt Force.
I was thinking Blunt Force or Brute Force,
because Blunt Force Trauma.
I know we're trying to get away from the football thing, but you can just be the concussioner.
Yeah. The Blunt Force Trauma.
The concussor.
Yeah, the concussor. Yeah.
Or just...
Brute. Do you fight, like...
Oh, I kind of like Brute.
Are you more after, like, street crime, the mob people, or are you after for, like... mad scientist or alien invasion kind of guy, or what are you?
More of the street, the street thugs and
so
whatnot,
that would,
cleaning up.
That would work around his out-of-town schedule.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe, oh, coach, I sprained my ankle this week. I can't go to the game.
I mean, that's the drama, right? You know.
How about the enforcer?
Mm-hmm.
Or an enforcer?
I kind of like
An enforcer, A-N-N-E, enforcer,
or just enforcer,
enforcer. Yes,
a
purple pugilist,
purple pugilist, Brian pugilist,
backfist.
I like blunt force. That's
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Wait! I've got it.
Oh, now I got the hiccups.
Squat thrust.
What about the zebra as a reference to the referees?
I gotta get some water.
Your game.
Wait,
I like blunt force.
Rob, so, you said you liked Brute, right?
Yes.
Okay, stay with me on this. This is kind of old school. You're working for... You're driven by guilt because of your brother. Brother Brute.
Brother Brute?
Brother Brute. You go out on the streets, right? And you punch things really hard.
For your bro.
See, I was kind of thinking like Blackout or Knockout. But
Knockout.
I really wasn't liking that.
Knockabout.
KO.
Roustabout.
Yeah. Roustabout is good. What did they call the guys who...
So your brother's still alive?
Yes.
Are you your brother's keeper?
No, he's perfectly functional, like paralyzed from middle of the back down.
Okay.
So he's functional. He's able to do everything.
Wheel it around and all that stuff. Okay.
Just, you know, his life went from being the next huge star of baseball to... a random schmuck in a wheelchair.
I know. I know what your name should be. Free agent.
There you go.
Mm. Oh my god, I like that one, but I like.
It doesn't go with.
Yeah, I want to keep it away. Like everything needs to stay away from the
anyone
football.
Even remotely connecting that he is the star of the.
Because like I mean, he's going.
He was drafted, so he wouldn't be a free agent.
And then come on, man.
And then, why would a football player be fighting crime down in the soggy town?
And here's the thing: he didn't pick the name. He went in and beat up some thugs, and they were like, "Are you with the De La Cruz or with the what are the other guys?
The McClaneys."
The McClaneys. And he just turned to them and said, I'm a free agent.
All right, there you go.
That's good. That's good.
More like he's standing over them and you see the big kind of Rob Liefeld hulking out, looking down at them, no ankles kind of thing.
Way too many teeth.
Wearing like pouches. Pouches. Wearing a vest.
He had a phase where he had pouches.
And his fist wrapped in like athletic tape.
Broken bandages. Yeah, broken athletic tape. Yeah, that'll work.
Think about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We don't have to come up with your name yet.
True.
Yes. Blast Hard Cheese.
Crunch McButtstain.
Yes. Bob Johnson.
not knowing which way we were going with this, I actually was thinking earlier today, I was like, if we're doing fantasy, I'm just going to go as Bob the Barbarian.
So going with
so what's your aspect?
Driven by guilt.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Driven by guilt. The Atoner to be named later.
Okay. Well, it sounds like everyone's got a third aspect now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, Brian, we've kind of... You said one of the next things we have to do is like some crossover thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
The next thing that we'll do...
Well, okay, then why don't we do that next week where we do some team-up episodes?
Sounds good.
Crossover episodes. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. We hope you are getting into it as much as we are. I would be really, really interested... For those of you that have played Fate, to go over to the Major Spoilers website into the podcast posting page for this episode. You can find a link in your show notes and share one of your favorite characters that you've ever created in a Fate system. You could do your own origin story there. I'd love to read them, as I'm sure all the other listeners who are going to go over there and check it out. But specifically, if you've created a character in Fate, and it's one of your favorite characters, please share that over at the podcast posting page this week at MajorSpoilers.com. And until next time, here's hoping... What is it, Brian? Here's hoping that it's a double fudge plus or whatever.
All your dice rolls come up pluses.
There you go.
I want a double fudge plus.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.